The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Amen. Ready for the word? Help me look to three persons by your side and say something very nice to them this morning before you have your seats. Be a good friend. Be a good brother. Say brother, sister. Glory to God. Let's see if we can teach. Okay, because I started to teach in the first service and I couldn't. So I believe we'll be able to teach this time. So, 2 Corinthians 1, I think that was just where we were in the first service, so we'll just start from there again. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 24. He said, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. So, we've been looking at the fact that God sends men to help us. God sends men. And that's a very important truth that I was trying to establish in the first service. The fact that when God sends, when God wants to reach you, He will reach you through men. When God wants you, in fact, let me put it this way. Men are God's distribution channels and men are God's collection points. You know what I said? So, what I mean is, if God wants to reach people, He will use men. Now, if God wants to receive from people, He will also receive it through men. So, if God wants to reach someone, let's talk money now. Someone is praying for money, and God wants to reach the person. What He will do is, He will raise someone that will give the person the money. Now, I said collection points too, because if God also wants someone to give Him money, because if you say God wants you to give Him money, He will actually lead you to give that money to someone. You're not going to throw money up. I feel what I'm saying now. So when people say things like, why are we giving money in church? The first question becomes, do you believe there is God? Yes. Do you believe that we should give God? Yes. Give to God? Yes. Out of what He has given us? Yes. So how do you do that? Through a system or men. So if someone is praying for spiritual growth, which is actually our emphasis in this series, and God wants to help the person grow, what God will do, He will send men to help the person grow. So when you see people who run away from systems, who run away from the church, who run away from pastors and that can help them, and they are hoping to grow spiritually, it's a hope, something they will never have. Because you can't possibly be hoping, right, to grow spiritually, and you don't want to get yourself under a system where there are men. So Paul said, we are helpers of your joy. So it is men that help us grow spiritually. It is men that help us. Yes, I understand that. Oh, I can read Bible for myself. I understand it for myself. I can pray by myself. I don't need anybody to pray to God for me. That is true. You don't need anybody to pray to God for you. But you've got to realize the same God you are praying to said by Himself, I will give you pastors after my heart. So I always say, if He never thought you needed men, He wouldn't give you men. Right? The same God that David spoke of when he said, the Lord is my shepherd, also said He will give you shepherd. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. But he also said, I'll give you shepherds. See, even the good shepherd gave you a shepherd. I got what I'm saying now. Even the good shepherd gave you a shepherd. Because you see that He cannot do the work. He is actually doing the work through the physical shepherd. That's how He works. So you must understand the men that God has placed in your life to help you grow. Many of us are not growing because we don't realize that it is through men that God will help us. Man is God's method. It is a forever truth. Man is God's method. So, if you will serve God, you will serve God by serving men. If God will give you anything, God will give you that thing through men. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So, I was giving an example in the first service. If I say I want to give money to God now, how will I do that? I'm going to give it to a pastor.
or give it to the church. Or give it to saints. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that when you give money, when you give to the poor, and in context, talking about the poor in the church, poor and all of that, he said, when you do that, you are lending money to God. And God will repay you. So when you say, I want to give money to God, people are expecting I will just throw it up. God said, if you look at a broke person, a believer especially, because the Bible said we should do good to all men, but he said especially to those who are in the household of faith, especially. So you look at a believer who is in need, and you give to him, God counts it that you are lending him money. And he said he will pay you back. So you see why people that give always have. Because God counts their giving to the saints as giving to him. Are you following me? You remember when Jesus met those guys? He was giving a parable. He said on the last day, he will tell some to go to his right. Do you remember that? And others to go to his left. And he will tell the people on the right, when I was sick in the hospital, you visited me. When I was in the prison, you came for me. And they will ask him, when did we visit you? He said, well, you visited none of these, my brethren, you visited me. So what you do for a believer, what you do for a minister, what you do for the church, Jesus counts it like you are doing it for him. Are you following what I'm saying now? Yes. So he will look at the other group by the left and say, when I was sick, you didn't visit me. And they will ask him, we didn't see you sick. He said, well, you saw the believer sick. You saw your pastor sick. You saw your minister sick. You turned a blind eye. So I'm trying to show you, you reach God through men. Come, is it very clear to us? You reach God through men. And God will reach you through men. Well, that's where we are. God will reach you through men. So most of the prayers we pray, Father, I want to know the word better. I want to be able to do ministry. It is men that man is the answer. Either man will teach you, explain to you, guide you. So we've been talking about this thing. We looked at different systems that God used to help us in our growth. We looked at, for instance, the church. Do you remember? The church is the first set of men that God brings to help you grow spiritually. So any man that despises the church despises his spiritual growth. It's as simple as that. You can't grow spiritually outside the church. And I'm not talking about the church you visit once in a while. God puts the church to help you grow. The church is a system of growth. And let me make it very clear to you. You cannot, now take it from me, like it, hate it. But you cannot grow spiritually without the church. Let me tell you what is going to happen. If you don't have a solid church that you belong to, and you are trying to read your Bible, you are trying to grow spiritually, it's okay. But you will find out that, as I always say, you will always be a believer that is struggling with some things. Because when you want to grow spiritually by yourself, you want to study the Bible by yourself and learn by yourself, you will only study in the line of your interest. So if you are someone that is interested in prayer, for instance, you only study about prayer. So you now become a prayer giant. But your love work may be struggling. Are you getting the point? Or if you are someone that is just interested in relationships, you only study about relationships. And if you are interested in maybe soul winning, so there are many people who are soul winning giants, but they are not good Christians. Are you following what I'm saying? They can pray. But they can win souls. They love to win souls. But they can't pray. They can't walk in love. They can't even live like regular, normal Christians. You know, I was talking to Mom about this recently. And some of you that are in the choir, you have a retreat this evening, Abby. I know she will share along these lines. Because there are a lot of people who are ministers, but are not Christians. Let me take that again. They are believers. They are ministers, but they are not Christians. To be a believer, you become a believer by putting your faith in Christ Jesus. You become God's child. You become a son of God, right? Now, you become a Christian. Christian is Christ-like. You begin to live the life of Christ. That's being a Christian. So, you can be a believer and not be a Christian. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can believe in Jesus and not live the life of Christ. People even take it further to become ministers. They are preaching everywhere, but they don't live the life of Christ. You know why? They've not been pastored. They didn't pastor a proper church. So, there was no pastoring. They just love the Lord. They love doing His work. They love preaching the gospel. And they just go up and down doing that. But it takes a system called church, a proper church, to train you and bring out the life and the character of Christ from you. Are you following me? Yes. That's why Colossians 1:27 tells us, you know, 27 talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Put it up on the screen. Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, watch this, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, verse 28 said, who we preach. So that Christ in you is who we preach. Watch this. We preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So it is the duty of the leadership of the pastors, the leaders in the church, to present you perfect before God. Do you understand that? Give me like an answer of this verse. Everybody, please, let's read together, everybody. Warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship. So it is man that will present you to God as perfect. And so if you're not in a local church, you're not growing. Or let me say, you're not growing as you should. You are just swelling up on one area of your life. Maybe you've mastered prayer, or you've mastered reading the Bible, but you're not growing. And I don't need to tell you these stories because I've been there. You know, when I started learning the gospel very newly, when I started learning the gospel, I began to learn grace, new creation. I am by God's grace, I'm an avid reader. I read a lot. I read a lot of books, that was a particular year. Believe it or not, I read over 100 books in 1 year. Take it or take it. It's not your business. But I read over 100 books in 1 year. I read everything that year. I sat on E.W. Kenyon. I sat on all this. I devoured their materials. But I wasn't going to church. Because at the time when I started reading it, I found out that, the churches that were around, they were not teaching these things. I get what I'm saying. So whenever I go to church, I just see the shallowness of the pastor. I mean, I thought I was wise, but that's not wise. If you feel the church you're attending is not serving you the truth, you need to grow. Now, that's not the reason to stop going to church. Just look for a church that will serve the truth. Fine. Look at a good church that God has sent you to. It's as simple as that. That's not an excuse to just sit at home. Because I did that for some time until God corrected me on that very seriously. Because let me tell you what I found out. I found out that I was learning the word very well, but other areas of my life was not doing well. I thought I was praying. Until when I finally joined the church. Right? That church, they knew the gospel a bit. At least they shared a few things I believed in. Do you understand? But then, I joined. The first prayer vigil they had, I always tell you guys that story. The first prayer vigil they had. It's not the first time. There are two prayer stories I used to tell you people. This prayer vigil, I went there. I was already a minister. I knew the gospel. But these guys, we are not even in the mood that night. The pastor would just walk up, carry the mic, and say, tonight, watch this. We're praying for Nigeria. This is voice. Nigeria will be changed. Everybody say, amen. Let us begin to pray. He would drop the mic and go and start praying. There's no keyboard. Nobody will interrupt you. They will do that for like 2-3 hours. He will come up again and say, tonight, we're praying for souls to be saved. That was when I saw my prayer deficiency. Because if you're not part of a church, you think you're doing well. I get what I'm saying. And I saw some of these guys, I felt I knew the Bible more than. They prayed that thing. I wanted to say that nonsense. They prayed that thing till morning. I say, yeah. If I escape from this night. But guess what? I started my Christian journey as a prayer person. You know that first story I told you guys? As a prayer person. I didn't even like word. So, but when I now began to learn the word, I stopped attending church. So what happened was I became very proficient with the word, but then that prayer thing shut down. Are you following what I'm saying? And that's the imbalance you find in the life of the man that does not have a church where he's growing. Are you following me? He will either be this high and then that low. Because my Christian journey began with prayer. I would take 3 days retreat. And I'm not joking. Lock myself in a room and pray for the whole 3 days. Believe it or not. There were 3 days that I only came out in the midnight to come and eat myself and hold whatever thing happening to you, whatever press you are pressed throughout the day till midnight. That's how I grew up as a Christian. So I found my own path by myself while attending a church. So when I began to learn the gospel, I felt, but I go to church, they're not teaching anything. The thing is, if you feel, oh, my church is not teaching the word, I can't be going there. Look for a church that teaches the word and go there. But you cannot afford to just stone your own. It's not following me this morning at all. You can't afford to stone your own. There is spiritual growth in God. The church of Jesus Christ is the hub for spiritual growth. It's one of those helpers that God has given us. Then in the church, we also looked at the fact that pastors also are helpers of our joy. Right? Pastors, God positions pastors to help us grow spiritually. And much as you don't like pastors, or the hate going on with pastors' generation, the pastoral job is forever God's method. Which, as imperfect as you think pastors are, they are forever God's method for spiritual growth. You cannot possibly grow spiritually without a pastor. Are you following me? I said, are you following me? You can't grow without a pastor. Hebrews 13:17, Paul, who I believe wrote the book of Hebrews, by the way, he said, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. He said, for they watch for your souls. So there are people that God has given to watch for your souls. Pastors, watch for your souls. So as mature and powerful as you think you are, God in heaven thinks that you cannot watch for your soul by yourself. Deal with that. Are you following me? God thinks you cannot watch for your soul. Bible said that they will give account. So one day I'm going to stand before Jesus and he's going to ask me about you, about you, about you, if you remember here. So the question I asked God one day when I read this, I said, why won't you ask them about, why are you asking me about them? Why am I the one giving accounts for them? Why can't they answer for themselves? He said, that's not how it works. He said, I've committed them to your hands. Give an example of shepherd and sheep. The sheep doesn't account for himself. It's the shepherd that will give account. Maybe if I have 1,000 sheep and then I give you to shepherd to take care of 100 for me, 100, that's the picture God showed me. 100, 100, 100 and all of that. So after 3 months, I say, come, give me accounts. Which of the sheep is doing well? Has anyone died? I will not be asking the sheep that question. Do you get the point? Has anyone given birth? Has anyone? So I'll be asking. So it's the shepherd that accounts for the sheep. So the question is, you don't have a shepherd. Who accounts for you? And let me even say this very clearly. There is nobody that doesn't have a pastor. There are just people that have not discovered who their pastor is. God, in his faithfulness, cannot bring you into his family and not give you a pastor. Jeremiah 3:15, he said, I will give you pastors after my heart. So if God doesn't give you a pastor, he has failed you. And God cannot fail anybody. Is someone following me this morning? Look at that on the screen. I will give you pastors according to my heart. So God gives you pastors. God has given everybody a pastor. So there is nobody who doesn't have a pastor. There are just people who have not discovered their pastor. So actually, people don't say, go and get a pastor. Well, that's not a good way to say it. People don't get pastors. People discover their pastors. Are you getting the point? Because there's a pastor God has given you. And I pray you find your pastor. And if you found your pastor, I pray you stick to your pastor. So how do I find my pastor? Well, story for another day. But if you find a church that God has sent you, found your pastor. Find a church. I think the day I taught on this church thing, I gave details on how to find your church. You know, I'm a pastor and I love people coming to this church. At this church, I wanted to stay. But I also realized that there are people that will pass through here that I'm not their pastor. I know it. And I don't have a problem with it. That's what you have to find out for yourself. Is this your church? Do you have that conviction? Have you heard what we teach? Do you agree with what we teach? Will you submit to the leadership here and the disciplines for growth in this place? If your spirit is okay with that, then I become your pastor. Then I'm responsible for you. That's how it works. So there are people that are coming, that are coming for like 3 weeks, and they're not yet sure if this is their church or not. It's fine. Don't rush it. Take your time.
But once you've confirmed that this is your local church, then plant your feet. Plant your feet. And grow and follow the pastoral. Because is that God gives you a pastor. He said, I will give you a pastor after my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge. So it is pastors that feed. Are you following me, friends? Pastors are feeders. Pastors are feeders. What it simply means is that if you do not have a pastor, you are either not feeding or you are feeding wrongly. And the wrong way to feed is self-feeding. To feed yourself, I can find what I'll eat by myself. I always use this illustration whenever I teach on this illustration. Funny, but it's true. You know, there are two kinds of birds or chickens that we know in Nigeria. Two kinds of fowls, right? Two major kinds. What are they? There is local fowl and agric fowl. The difference most times is the local fowl, we say, is the strongest. I don't want to be like local fowl. He just goes about by himself, finding food for himself. When night comes, he locates any tree. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Climbs on the tree and just sleeps for that night. If it gives birth to children, he's always fighting with the hawk coming to carry the children. Have you ever experienced that? He's always fighting. That's local fowl. He's not under anybody's care. He's finding ready for himself. Eventually, he goes through all the rough parts of life and is sold for nothing. You know what I'm saying, right? This Christmas, how many of you are going to go to the market and buy local fowl to eat? There are arguments with it. It's sweeter. Why are you not buying it? You know why? It's just a loose fowl. He rarely has meat. Not because he cannot have meat, though. If you get those local fowls and treat them, keep them at home like agri fowl, they will become big too. Yes. Then there is the agri fowl that you keep at home. Those broilers. Very weak things. You know that weak. If weather is too hot, they die. If it's too cold, have you ever trained fowl? Did they survive? How many survived? We once trained fowl. My younger brother trained fowl. At the time it was prayer we were using. Then they went to the market to sell the fowl. The last one wanted to die. He was speaking over the fowl. He will not die. Live in Jesus' name. Live after living. Those birds are weak. Very weak things. But you know why they're able to survive? There is someone taking care of them. Someone comes in, shakes their stool. You know that's how you take care of fowl. If the stool is watery or something, you locate that one. You quarantine it. You inject it. You take care of it. There's an age it gets, you know, the feed should now change. That's pastoring. Now think of the unpastored Christian who is like the local fowl. Who just walks up and down. The local fowl can give birth to 8 children at the same time. And hawks will come and carry like 5 or 3 or 6. He keeps fighting. Because there is no one to shelter it. Are you following me? And that's why you notice every animal can behave well. If there's someone to take care of it. You know, they say pigs are dirty. But with further research that we found out, discovered that pigs are not actually dirty. Most times it is the person taking care of it that is dirty. Because how many of you have ever been into pig farm? Where is Evans? Okay, Evans, where is he? Okay, you too, yes. By the way, that's something you can explore. Pigs pay big money. Are you aware? No, you don't know. How much do you think you can buy a full-grown pig? Give me an example. Like 100,000? Or 200? 400 and something. So that 400 and something. If you don't have money, don't go there. So if I have money, go and train. But you notice, pigs are not actually very dirty. A few things I found out is, those pigs,
They always appear like they are dirty because, you know, their body, they don't have pores. So there's a lot of space. So they want to always roll inside water. So if you keep that water very clean, they will appear clean. So a shepherd has the power to make anything out of any animal. Anybody. I feel what I'm saying. I'm saying this to say, and sometimes human beings, and by comparing with animals, you know, there's a breed of pigs that if you get, when they give birth to their kids, they eat it. Are you aware? Now, it is not the job of a shepherd. And that's why you see that shepherding is actually a very serious thing. Sometimes you are timing when they will give birth. Once they do it, you rescue the kid. That's a lot of carefulness. That's a lot of attention. That's why most of the time, when people say, I know what I'm doing, I can take care of myself. Some people are even eating their feet, their children. Spiritually speaking now. Messing with their future. Messing with their career. Messing with their ministry. But they don't know. Because there is no one to pace them. And to see that, hey, you are doing something wrong. Sam, this just to remind you, if you don't have a church, you don't have a pastor, discover the church God has sent you to and stay there. Allow yourself to be pastored. Are you following me? Allow yourself to be pastored properly. Properly. Well, so then we looked at friends. I'm just doing a little recap, but we are going. We looked at friends. And other people that God has put in your life to help your joy are your friends. Were you here last Sunday? I took time to explain that very well. God ordained friends. God sends them your way to help you make sure that you are standing very strong. And that's why if you take friendship carelessly, if you treat it carelessly, you are not serious with your life. One of the ways I know people who are serious with their life, I always ask them, who are your friends? Who are your friends? And when they mention who their friends are, well, I can already tell. And that's why I say to people, you want to grow spiritually, yet 2 hours in church or 3 hours in church is too much for you. Once we dismiss, you carry your Bible and you're running home. But then, guess where you go to where you run home in the evening? You go to a beer parlor. And you stay there and drink with your friends till evening. Now, guess where your friends will come from? Your friends will come from that same place. And they will shape your values. And that's the truth. Because the thing about friendships is that wherever you stay a lot, you find your friends there. You have friends from your class if you're in school, possibly. Because you're always there every day. So you have to be deliberate about making Christian friends. I always teach people, don't let circumstances choose your friends. Circumstances can bring people your way. But be the one to choose your friends. Be the one to look for certain values in people. Will this one, you know, I gave you a list last week, right? Will this one help me grow spiritually? I told you what to look for in such friends. Will this one help me grow? Will this one be interested in my growth? Will this one be able to correct me? If I grow up as a man now and I say, I want to marry a second wife, will this brother be able to stop me and say, ah, you are wrong, sir? Or will he say to me, anything you want to do is your business. I'm for you. Don't have a yes friend. Always yes. I want to kill myself. Yes. I'm stopping church. Yes. I don't even like praying again. Yes. I'm giving up on life. Now you biko. Anything you want, we support you. Don't have that kind of friend. That's not friend. That's not friendship. A friend should be able to talk to you. Not talk to you like your child, like his child rather, but then at least, what's wrong with you? We've not seen you in church for some time. When did this one start? And that's what people think. That's how people think they have enemies, but they have friends. There are people you've branded your enemies that are actually your friends. Because they told you the truth. And I went on Facebook. And that's why, if you have a friend in a relationship, you always advise them to counsel the person. Right? Because anything you say, they will think you are against them. But I don't agree with that. If you are my friend, and I think you are doing wrong in a relationship, I will tell you. Now, the worst you are going to do is to hate me after that. But when you grow up, you will like me. I get the point. You will like me. You are my friend as a guy, and you are beating your wife. I will tell you. You are very stupid. Now, I will tell you. God, that's the demand of friendship. So why did God bring me to your life? if I can't tell you. Amen. Or both of you are planning to get involved in a relationship, and you're my friend. I hope you're always fighting, always fighting. All I will intervene. Now, I'm not telling you to end the relationship. That's why there is wisdom. But I'll ask both of you, rethink this thing, though. Or have you spoken to pastor about it? I get what I'm saying. What I'm not going to do is to tell you people, just manage and get married first. You know, that's what people do all over the place. So that you guys will now begin to punch each other. You need healthy friends that will help you grow. And you be a healthy friend too. Let me tell you something. You know, I've said it many, many times. When you see people, like for instance, I traveled for a meeting last week. Everybody that preached in that meeting that were invited were my pastor's friends, personal friends. All of them are doing well in ministry. Big, big churches, if you can say. All of them were friends. If I two, one of the ones that came, the one of the people that came for that meeting, they lived as roommates in the same room. One of them are doing ministry now, doing big things. There were actually three friends. One is in Canada now also, doing big ministry too. It's not surprising. Are you following what I'm talking about? It's not a shock. The ones that are not owning church, that are not church pastors and all of that, are serving the Lord mightily in their different local churches and doing big in their industries. Some of them are big bankers, big this. But all of them just got up as friends. Some felt called to ministry. Others felt, well, I don't have a call to ministry, but they were still friends. So there are friends that will help you grow, that will hold your hands. That's what you need. You need solid friends. All these friends that geography gave you. You know what I mean by geography? That location gave you. Guys are just friends because they are roommates. You are friends because they are neighbors. That's not friendship. I don't choose my friends by geography. And how you know it's not friendship is that once you guys leave that environment, the friendship ends. Are you getting me? I have friends now in my life, ministry friends, that we've not lived in the same city for getting to 10 years now or so. It changes nothing. So be deliberate about that. Friends are helpers that God has sent to help you grow spiritually. And let me talk about one more group. I call them instructors or mentors. The world calls them mentors. I call them instructors or disciples. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. Paul told them, though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, he said, yet have you not many fathers. So when he says, you don't have many fathers. In other words, in a church, he was writing to the Corinthian church, in a church like this, you don't have many fathers. In other words, you don't have many pastors. There's always a father or a pastor that God sends to a church. In this church, I'm the father in this church. I'm the pastor here. But he said in that church too, you can have 10,000 instructors. And instructors are necessary. Instructors are not your pastor, right? But they are there to play a certain role. We call them, the world calls them mentors. We call them disciples. Let me tell you why instructors are very necessary. Why you must discover who they are. And let them bless you. You see, look at the number of people in this church. Bear in mind that there are people that came for first service. Right? They are not here. Now, think of people who are in Soka Center, Opolo Center, Lagos Center, Abakiliki, and all of that, where people are following from and all of that. Now, I am all their pastor. I'm their pastor. There are even people who are in other countries. We have people in Ghana. We have people in Estonia. We have people in United Kingdom, other people in the United States that are always following service. I'm not saying people that join once in a while that are here week in, week out. This is their church. That they start with this church. They go through our trainings. And I'm supposed to be their pastor. The question is, how can I possibly pastor all these people? So what God does is he picks a pastor, then he raises instructors and mentors under him that will amplify his message to people one-on-one. Because training and discipleship cannot happen in a group. It happens one-on-one. You know, I gave an example the other day. I said, imagine you went to enroll for a sewing class. You want to be a tailor. And then you are enrolled for the class, and you guys are 1,000 in the classroom. Will you possibly learn how to sew? Can you learn how to sew in that kind of class? You will know, they will teach you
they will teach you guys to be bored. So now, begin to match the machine. Or teach you a projector. That's all. But if you are really going to be a good tailor, you need one-on-one mentoring. Are you getting the point? So a class of two, a class of three, a class of five. So even if it's a class of 100, they need to have many instructors. That's how church works. So this is where you need people that will help you. So apart from what pastor is doing on stage here, and what your friend is doing, because your friend is not an instructor. Your friend is not a mentor. When your friend talks to you, your friend gives you advice. When an instructor talks to you, he gives you instruction. It's not the same thing. But people that have friends, they don't have people that instruct them, they will be in trouble. So apart from having a pastor, which you already have by being part of a local church, look out for people that God is placing around you that are heard of. For instance, in this church, I'll give an example. If you are in a department, your team lead is an instructor for you. He's a mentor that will mentor you, teach you a few things. If you are doing your PT style classes, your teacher is an instructor. And apart from this organized instructor, whatever, your generation leader is an instructor. But apart from that organized structure, be wise to look out for people. If you notice that there is a minister in this church that you've just been looking at, and you like how the person is, and you want the person to help you, begin to get close to the person. Because once God joins your heart to someone, there is something you need to learn from them. Let me tell you, I was produced, the early days of my Christianity was marked by one-on-one instructions. Some of you know the story, right? It was a lady. Should I tell you now? It was a lady. I went on mission work, and coincidentally, she was, because we were in a group, so they put, she was our leader, we were five in the group. So she was leading four of us. So throughout the 1 month, I observed that, okay, I knew by the spirit that this wasn't just a coincidence that I was sent to this lady. I knew I had to join myself to her. So there was a time in my life, my brother said, I will tell you, every weekend I would travel. She was living in a close by village. She was living in Enugu Esike, far into Enugu Esike. I would go every weekend to stay with her. So what do you do? I would go there with my notes. She used to be a tailor. She's still a tailor. So when she's sewing in her shop, I would go sit beside her and be asking her a question. And she's sewing. Yes, sir, I've practiced tailoring small. Yes. Asking questions, taking notes. I did that for long. My first ever message that I preached, she gave me the platform to preach. She helped me prepare the message. I mean, official message. Because I grew up as a pastor, so I preached many, many things. But official message, she said, okay, what do you want to preach on? I said, I awake, oh ye sleeper. Isaiah 52. Verse 1. I can't forget it. And she said, okay, write it. I wrote it. She said, what do you want to address in the message? I said, they should wake up. So she said, wake up from what? She said, first you have to introduce the message. Look how you introduce it. There's, what are the disadvantages of sleep? In the natural. I told her, because if you're asleep, because you're sleeping and you're in a bus, and you oversleep, they will carry you and pass your destination. She said, okay, that counts. What it means is that when people begin to sleep spiritually, they can miss their timing. I wrote down that message. Yes. Line upon line. She said, okay, what's the advantage of being awake? Then finally, how should one wake up? It was 2006. I was a secondary school boy. And after that, she said, well, last thing she told me, she said, you know you're small. But I was very small then. She said, you know you're small. If you like, go up there and be talking small, small. They would despise you. I said, thank you. I shouted the hell out of those people. I shouted the hell out of them. They were, wake up, wake up. But that was the beginning. The second one I preached was, thy kingdom come. So that one said, I will not have said, prepare it and show me. I sat down. Let me tell you this here. Because now she's not my spiritual father.
But she was a an instructor that God sent to my life at that time. And I still talk with her till today. Till today. Now, what I'm talking about, 2006 is 19 years ago. Are you following me? She had a note, a big note. I sat down with my pen and paper and copied, just like message note like this. Copied the whole message into my own. Everything. Page 1 to the end. Both her study and what she jotted in programs, I copied everything. I went and started reading it. That was my first Christian book. Now, I'm talking to you about, so forget that it's spiritual fatherhood, that is pastoring, but that is it for some one-on-one guidance. Now, is she a pastor today? No, well, she's a pastor's wife. You might even say, by your own estimation, that my ministry currently has a wider spread and a wider reach than her, than hers. Do you understand the point? But that was my first guiding. That was my first guiding in the miraculous. Because she was the first lady I met that ever raised the dead. I didn't hear about raising the dead on TV. I saw it live. In a person. She was the first lady I met that raised, that have collected clutches from someone that was crippled. Just like a normal church girl. So I knew this is not normal. I had to attach myself. I feel what I'm talking about here. There's need for mentorship. That's how, because you think, I didn't just appear. So when I thought I started my Christian life with prayer, that's how. You will pray. You will pray. One day, I remember I was praying one day, we were praying in a group, she said, you pray, she told me, say, you pray so absent-mindedly. He said, when you pray, pray with focus. I said, yes, ma. Yes. It wasn't the message they were preaching in the crowd that helped. It helped though, it played its own role. Are you following me? Instructors. I remember the first day somebody came to me and said, be my mentor. I told the person I cannot. So I went to her and said, can you imagine? Somebody said, I should be my mentor. He said, why can't you? I said, me, I can't. And she said, whatever I've been telling you, be telling the person. I said, fine. That one is not hard. So I just went back. And she said, pray. Prepare message. Bring the message. Let me see. Just same thing. So you need instructors. Are you following what I'm talking about? That they can be made. The Bible says they can be 10,000. Because sometimes they come at different seasons of your life. Currently in this church, there might be somebody you are close to. Learn all you can. Somebody higher than you that you are close to. Learn all you can. After that season, we might move you from that department or whatever. And you get into another leader. I tell people here, if we are moving you from team to team, or you are getting under different leaders at different times, it's not a point to complain. God wants you to learn. He's bringing different instructors your way for different seasons of your life. Some will teach you prayer. Some will teach you word. Some will teach you character. Some will teach you love work. I've not had a teaching on faith and positive faith confession. But I received 2 slaps for it. 2 slaps from that my mentor. How many slaps? 2. I've told it to Rabbi. We're planning program. No, first of all, we're planning to go for evangelism. So me and I now said, the way the weather is looking, what if it now starts raining? I was being sincere. She gave me this laugh. What? Don't talk like that. Your words are powerful. I said, why woman going to slap me like this for? You know, I was an adolescent, right? I was growing up, so the whole manly tendency was showing up. Why is a woman slapping me like? When I was in secondary school, a senior that is a woman cannot punish me. Are you okay? I'm not saying it's good though. But you know that adolescent, whatever. But here was a lady. Dirty slap. I chop him. So, after a while, I thought I had learned it. So we were trying to leave the land after the mission work. And we're trying to write we've raised a prayer team for them. So I'm trying to write a program of events that they were going to use for 1 year, you know. And in the program of events, I have to pick topics. I get what I'm saying? That to meet every Friday, we have to write topics on this and preaching on this that I can guide it for 1 year. So me and I say that she said we're going to write it tomorrow or next. I said, fine. Because what if we come there? Look at my points. I wanted to really see my points. I was like, what if we get there on that day and we don't have enough topics for this? So I'm suggesting let us start bringing the topic now, because we might get on that day and all our minds will be blank. Why would I topic? The next slap. This one was on my face. Don't talk like that. There is power in your words. That's how I learned faith conversion. I still remember this slap. I've not forgotten. I speak faith. My words are powerful. Even if I did not hear it, my chin heard it. Yes. Say, is it good to slap someone? That's now your own analogy. And your own scriptural whatever. Now, will I slap someone now if I'm mentoring the person? No. Have I done that before? Yes. Now, that's why you find that it's not my fault, sorry. It came from somewhere. But you know the thing about it is, at the time, I wasn't analyzing whether it was right or wrong to slap. You know, I told you something about correction. There is a way to correct. There is a right way to correct. But when you are being corrected, don't pay a lot of attention to how you are being corrected. Focus on why you are being corrected. The mode of the correction may be wrong. Maybe you should have done it differently. But the important thing is, why did we even have to correct you in the first place? But I took that lesson. I get the point. And it came in handy many times. I know I learned a lot of things. Those days we'll be doing programs. It's mentorship. And the job will be giving problem. And then my leader was a very interesting woman. She would just storm out. She was in her 20s, early 20s. She would just storm out and say, Henry, if this gen goes off, you'll be in trouble. Am I a mechanic? That's how we learn to work miracles and speak to things. So you're not seeing me. The problem about I'm outside. You shall not offer in Jesus' name. You shall not offer in Jesus' name. Yes. Yes. There is need for some personal work. I can say the point. So if you don't have to do evangelism, attach yourself to someone that will instruct you. Go there and you guys go and preach once, preach twice to become a master in it. Are you following what I'm saying? There are instructors that help you. So there are many examples. Aquila and Priscilla instructed Apollos. Right? Jesus practically mentored his disciples. He didn't pastor them from afar. He pastored the ones with what? You see those disciples? He lived with them in the same house. They ate with him. They woke up with him. They saw him. He sent them to buy food. He made them serve. You see, the disciples of Jesus were not produced by a miracle. It was deliberate mentorship. Deliberate discipleship. So if you want to be serious to a Christian life, attach yourself. Let God lead you. And don't go too far. Look around church. Look around church. And when someone comes to you for mentorship and all that, it's not because the person now wants to leave pastor and submit to you. No. Just do your work in that season and just move on. My leader now is not claiming spiritual fatherhood over me. She's done her job. I feel what I'm saying. And even till now in my life, I have many mentors that I speak to over a few things. Yes. I speak about a few things. Are you following me now? Because God will bring them your way. And many of you, God has brought them your way, but you despise them. So look around you. Your team lead, your generation leader, had a few things to learn. Generation leader, team lead, people that come around you, that person trying to follow you, that person trying to bring you to church. Begin to learn a few things from the person. Ask questions. So my prayer life, these people are talking about prayer. I can't pray every day. When I wake up in the morning, I just go, I don't know how to pray. The person will guide you. It takes guiding to learn how to pray. There are people I've had to wake up every morning on the phone, and I prayed with them for over 6 months till their prayer life picked up. Yes. That's personal mentorship. Some of the pastors here, some of my early sons that I raised those days, they can tell you. You come to my house that time, I will spend the whole day with you. The whole day. And that's not an exaggeration. Talking, laughing, teaching you, shouting, smiling, everything happening at the same time. It's mentorship. So they can be up to 10,000. That's what Bible is saying.
at different times in your life.
Instructing you the word of the Lord.
And it will help you. Are you following me?
So what they do, they're not going to do something new. They're amplifying and enforcing the voice of the pastor. The things that pastor have taught us on prayer. Why you must have a prayer life. But you find out that you cannot have a prayer life. You've tried. A mentor will guide you into that thing that pastor said. I get to the point. You have a struggle and addiction. Pastor have taught you how to break addiction. But you said you've tried to break it by yourself. But the break is not breaking. A mentor can hold your hand and guide you out of addiction. It's a very simple thing. We've done it to many people. Guide you out of addiction. I get to the point. Yes. I know a few persons that are under mom's mentorship now over some of these addiction issues. And it's not that hard. Guide you out of it. Especially if you're a lady, for instance, and you have an addiction and it's sexually related, it is wise to submit to a lady mentor over such issues. Are you following me? Are you following what I'm saying? It's wise. And that's why in this church, we raise ministers male, female. So that you're not going to say, I wanted to talk to somebody about it, but there's nobody to talk to. There is somebody to talk to. Are you following me? My office is open. You can come and see me. But then you coming to see me in the office, I'm going to advise you and encourage you. But it's going to be very difficult to get on my one-on-one instruction. Except God leads me to do that. But you look at the wisdom of God. If you are being mentored by any true son or daughter in this house, I'm mentoring you. I'll tell you why. Because anything they're telling you is what I'm telling them. And let me even shock you. Most of the things they're telling you, they tell before they tell you. When you come with strong issues, they'll mention it to me. There's nobody mom is mentoring and I don't know what the person is going through. I know. I feel what I'm saying now. Yes. So you see, the plan of God is that everybody in the local church will be accounted for one-on-one. Even if we are 10,000 here, even if we are 100,000 here, everybody should be able to be accounted for one-on-one. But that when God asks me, there's a lady in your church, her name is this, how is she doing? I'll just say, Father, excuse, I'll call for the person's department leader. There's a lady in your department, how is she doing? I'll get feedback. I'll say, okay, God, look at how she's doing. That's the wisdom of God. That's structure. I follow what I'm saying this morning. In closing, let me say to you, long closing though, because I still have a few minutes left. Let me say to you, I've mentioned how many helpers now, the church, the pastor, friends, instructors and all of that. You need these people. I'll give you 5 random reasons why I think you need them. And I'll just rush to it. And I'm ending this series today, by the way. Different times you need these people. Randomly. For instance, you need them when sin and certain mistakes raises itself in your life. I'll talk about that. There are times that you know the Bible, you know the truth, you know you shouldn't sin. But there are certain sins that just hold you down. Certain mistakes you try to break out is holding you. Galatians 6 verse 1 said, if anyone is overtaken in a fault, he didn't say he should fast and pray. He said the people that are spiritual, that word means mature. People that are mature should restore the person. So you need helpers in your life. Helpers like pastors. Helpers like mentors. When you are under this kind of sin, when a sin or mistake or struggle raises its head in your life. You know, Hebrews 12 verse 1 tells us, it said, looking unto Jesus, give me that verse. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And what? The sin which does so easily beset us. It looks like there is always this sin that wants to trip you off. When you find out that in your life, that is where you need the help of a helper of joy. The help of men. Either pastor or mentor that will guide you through it. So if you are in this kind of situation, stop thinking you can break out by yourself. You may not be able to. And that's not because you are weak. That's because sometimes you need somebody to just help you and lead you out of it. It's the wisdom of God. That's number one. Number two, you need helpers when you get, there are seasons when you seem to get distracted.
So see it happen to you.
Distracted from your Christian job. That's why you need men. You need helpers. You need fathers. You need a father. You need a pastor. You need a mentor. Because each of us will tend to get distracted at different times in our lives. Does it happen to you? If I let me add, this distraction is not only about bad things. Sometimes it's about good things. You know, there's a job you can get now. And it gets is so good and overwhelming that you might not even come to church again. You just come in when you can. That's when you need someone that will hold you. See, imagine you are distracted already and you don't have anybody that can help you. That's how you just go. That's how people leave. After 5 years, you find that this guy used to be very serious. There was no helper in his life that could hold him when distraction sent him. I put what I'm saying. How many of you know? Let me tell you this. How many of you know that after Paul got born again in Acts chapter 9 and began to do ministry, there was a time he went back to Tarsus. Tarsus is his home. I don't know why he left though. He went back. But Acts 11:25 tells us that there was a man, his friend, called Barnabas. He said, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. So there was a Barnabas that went to seek him. Now see the next verse. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. It was now in this Antioch that they were till Acts 13, when the Lord now said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul. Imagine Barnabas didn't go for him. Are you following what I'm saying now? Distractions can come. That's why you need helpers around you. Mentors that will help you. Pastor that will hold your hand. Friends that will help you when distractions come. Next, you need helpers when the Christian life will get boring. You know, the Christian life can be boring. Every time the Christian life is boring, it's not because it's devoid of life. It has life. You know that Christian life is a life of routine. And anything that has routine is boring. How do you live? When you wake up in the morning, what do you do every morning? What should you do every morning when you wake up? Read your Bible and pray. Every Sunday you come to church. Every Thursday you come to church. Every Saturday you go for evangelism. Every Monday you go for evangelism. Every weekend, it's not about to change. The same routine. The same routine. Pray every morning. Read your Bible. Confess. Declare. Go evangelism. Go to church. Come back from church. Do pastors. Do meeting. Finish the meeting. Receive shouting. Receive correction. The same routine. It gets boring. But that's why you need friends. The Bible said, iron sharpens iron. Friends and people that can piss. You know, I've heard people, a few people about that, even recently. Someone came to my office and was telling me, I'm just so tired. I'm so frustrated. But the person told me, I'm just doing everything I'm doing now just because I have to be showing up. And he said, I didn't say, what? You? I know it can happen to anybody. At that time, I just show up. It's not like you are passionate. It's not like you want to come. You just show up. I ever had that season. You show up because if you don't show up now. Expression people, what was that? Just show up. You're tired. But that's what you need people. The secret is when you find out that you get bored, it's not time to now run away. You need someone. Talk to someone. Talk to a mentor. Talk to a father. Talk to a friend. You know, you can just tell your friend, let me tell you. See this church you are going to now? I'm not excited about it. I ever come to church, I'm not excited. Anybody? Yeah. I'm not excited about this. He said, why? He said, I don't even know. But let's be going, Sha. Oh, but thank God for helpers. If person is so, if person will say, well, it's okay, let's go to church first. After church, the person will appear in your house. Say, so you came without telling me. I just came. We are praying this night. That's a helper. A pastor will now say, people that have, some of them, I send them on retreats and all of that. And you come back refreshed. You know the thing about spiritual lethargy is that once you get tired for spiritual things, that tiredness affects every other thing in your life. You will not even have strength to read. You will not even have strength to even walk. Those who go to work, you are just sitting around. Yes, because your life is interconnected. I feel I'm talking about. Once you just drop off spiritually, just find that you just drop off in every other thing. That's why you need people that can pace you, help you, say, pick up, help you. And before you know, you're back, burning again. I have a pastor. Do you have? Yes. That's why, one of these you are trusting God for, I wouldn't say everything. And as a family, you know, all this God is going to do for us, let me just say it. I'm already talking about it. God will give us a property. Not you, I mean my wife. A property in Lagos. You say, why? Because my spiritual father is in Lagos. I want people to go there at least. Not thinking about hotel bill. Go there like 5 times in a year. Just enter flight. Appear. Yes. So that. Are you following me, friends? Because this pastoring work, sir, do you get tired and bored? Should you now start talking about it? There are times you just show up because you have to show up. Do you know how many pastors? Do you know it's been discovered that at least there's a particular number of pastors in thousands that quit ministry daily? I kid you not. Because they are burned out. You know why you burn out in ministry? There are no helpers. You are not maximizing them. You have someone you can call, and after all the prayer on stage, hey, you call the person and say, good evening. Let me tell you, now die I do. You have such people. Have them as friends, have them as mentors, have them as father. I pull and say, you need all these people in your life. Oh, you need them. That's how people lost their spiritual fire. That's how. Because what came against you is not different. It happens to everybody. So that when your own came, there was nobody there to hold your hand and guide you out of it. Are you following me, everybody? You need people in your life. Number what now? Number four. So I'm going to give you 5 things. Number four. They help you. You need helpers when you face challenges and setbacks. Challenges in life. Challenges in life. Okay, challenges and setbacks in a Christian journey. Yes. In Acts chapter 4, they persecuted them for preaching. But they went back to their own company. That's what the Bible says. And they went and prayed. So they threatened them not to preach again. They didn't go to that. Do you know why they went back to their own company? Because that threat affected them. You know, when they threatened them, Peter told them, we will not cower. We will preach the word. We will not respect man. We will respect God. But it affected them. How do you think it affected them? Look at their prayers. Their prayer was for boldness. They said, Father, give us boldness. Because they were already getting afraid. Are you following what I'm talking about? When the leaders call you and threaten you never to preach again, unless you are going, they will kill you. And if they were not afraid, if they were not feeling weak, they will not pray for boldness. Go to the next verse. Come on. Continue. They were still quoting Bible. Continue. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with what? All boldness. So they were weak. They were getting scared. So they went to their own company and they prayed together. And they received strength. Bible said, mighty miracles happened from there. So the apostles would have given up too, but they knew the secret. So, this instructed me. When they let them go, they didn't go home to go and change their clothes. Are you getting the wisdom there? They went from the place there, from the prison, straight to their own company. Just like if it's now, as they're leaving, you know, they just finished punishing us for preaching. As I'm leaving, I'm calling. Hello? Alex, meet me in Ebuka's house. Hello? Emeka, meet me in Ebuka. We're gathering. Why are we gathering there? Matate on ground. Do you have people like that? That's why you're always weak. Challenges come and they take you out. It's not because you are weak. There are no people. Are you following me, friends? Then next, you need these friends. Let me put it this way. You need not friends, you need helpers. When life
happens. You know life will happen. You know what is called life? Life happens. Life may not be something bad though. Life just happens. And it is in the course of life happening that many people lose their Christian fire. Amen. Life happens. So give me an example. What do you mean by life? Life. Just life. You're done with school now. Life is happening to you. There's no job. You just stay. Life is happening. The money they send you from home, they're no more sending the money. What is happening? Life is happening. Are you following me now? Your mates are getting married. You are not married. Life is happening. Others have gotten admission. You are not even passing jam. Life, yes. It is at this point of life happening that many people lose their Christian faith. Life just happens. You know, life happens to everybody. Life has happened to me. Has life happened to you? But that's not the problem. You know, look at. Let me show you this before we close. Let me show you this. Do you know? You know the parable of the sower, right? You know the parable of the sower. The first seed, where did it fall? It fell on stony ground. No, not stony, rather by the wayside. That one, birds of the air came to pick it. So he didn't even. So those ones, they didn't even hear. They didn't even receive the word. Then the second one fell on stony ground. That one, he had no roots. He just died. But there's a third one that fell on thorny ground. Look at the point. That one grew. He had roots. The seed grew. But the thorns choked it. Do you know when Jesus explained what those thorns are? Matthew chapter 19. Chapter 4, rather, verse 9. Is it 4? Mark 4, 19. Do you know what Jesus explained those thorns as? He called them the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of this. So the thorns that choked the world was not sin. Just the, what are the cares of this world? Give me an example. Money. What to eat. What, these are not bad things. Are you following what I'm saying now? They're not bad things. Look at it. Cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches, the loss of other things, it entered and choked it. So actually, the case of this world can choke you and choke your spiritual growth. It can. Don't you know people that have stopped serving God because things were hard for them? Have you not seen it? Things became hard. Person left school, didn't get a job. Didn't get a job. 1 year, 2 years. Person say, I can't even be going to church if I don't have a job. But where will I even see people to be going to the church? I beg. Then gradually. What is happening to you? It's not as though. So the what is stopping him is a legitimate concern. But what he lacks is people that will help him. Because in that situation, you need people that will hold your hand and just tell you, come on. Sometimes it's mentors who have been there before. Who say, I've been there now. Normal thing. Normal thing. It's not coincidental. You know, I've done ministry with a lot of mentors. But it's not been too long I started doing ministry with a father figure in my life. I think it's 6 years ago. Right? I started doing ministry with a father figure. And the change has been very radical. I mean, even in my personal life, in my personal finances. I get to the point. One of the things that it does to you is that when you have people like that, you have an example. My father has been through all of those things. I came out of it. So that's when he tells his own story. I used to say, now, wow. Yes. But then, you need people that will help you. So the same thing that have choked many other ministers couldn't choke me because I had people around me. Some of you know my story. When I used to sleep on the street, and I was still a pastor in this town. Street is not figure of speech, literally. Inside park, bus parks. But I was still preaching.
Why didn't I say, I'm no more doing again? All of you, go back to where you're coming from. There are people. In fact, the fear of your pastor is the beginning of wisdom. He said, that's not Bible, I'm just saying. But if I said nothing, how like meet my pastor and say, good evening, sir. You see that thing I was doing? I quit. I can't even do that. That alone, that holy fear in my heart alone is protection. Are you following what I'm saying? The fact that God puts people in your life that you are afraid of is safety. And when I see some, let me digress. When I see some people act carelessly, the only reason is because there is somebody they are afraid of. When I see people dress like animals, if you have someone you are afraid of, that's why you're not dressed. That's why I think with all this mental health thing going on, we've watered down parents in our generation. I miss parents that were parents. I'm not saying for all these new generations you guys are doing, you know. Parents that your friend will give you to wear. You know, if your mother sees you, they'll bury you. Do you know that fear alone is protection? You know, there's a way they will train you at home. Even your mother is not there, you'll be hearing her voice. When your father is not there, you're hearing his voice. You just hear him laugh. My dad had a particular eye. If he looks at you with that eye, you may die. I'm not joking. He doesn't talk much. Just look at you. We had a special name for the eye. Oh, my siblings are laughing. They will just turn. Look at you. You will address. You will sit well. You will behave well. Even if they look at you, you know you've done something wrong. It's good to have people, not like that kind of fear where you are afraid, but at least you have that holy reverence for. It's not as though if I quit and my pastor will beat me, he won't beat me. You get the point? I'm a man, I have a family. He won't beat me, but I have that fear. That reverence. How will I meet my pastor and tell him that? No. Are you following me, friends? That fear is a protection. Heavy protection, though. That's what I think I cannot do here. I cannot come and start telling you people now, hey, as I'm preaching, if I raise my left leg now, come and put 1 million to tap the anointing of the left leg. I can't do it. Even if I decide to do it, I have structure around me that if I do it, I will die. And the news will get there fast. And I'm talking to you now, my left, this time, I sense it. It's boiling. This one is 300,000. Tap it. Then I will gather oil. Say, this is not the regular oil you buy in the market. Oh. This one is from Jerusalem. Direct. Do you know people that do those things? They are either not under any helper. They are not under any mentor. Or they are under tormentors. People who are just like them. So they will even applaud them. A pastor is a strict, disciplined man of God. A friend of mine hosted my pastor. I don't know if I should not live with this studio. They should not beat me. But hosted my pastor and brought people to welcome me. Dancers and all these things. A pastor is a very disciplined man of God. You know, this kind of paparazzi, whatever. He first came down and said, "What are all these people? Get back into the church." And he chopped this. Let's not go into the details of that. Yeah. So you see, the kind of person, I'm not the kind of person that will come out tomorrow and now I'm starting, and I'm just dropped on my head. It's on my head. Come and drop 5,000. I can't, even if I backslide. Do you get the point now? I mean, God puts people in your life to pace you, to make sure that you are not, your head is not mad. But imagine a pastor has nobody who can tell him anything. He can come to me and say, "There's a new revelation. A new revelation now. If you eat detergent, it will wash
You know, have you seen all those kind of social media?
Nobody pieces them. So even familiar spirits are afraid to talk to me.
Because they know if they talk to me, the voice will not stand.
There's a voice strong in my life, stronger than the voice of familiar spirits. And I gave it that allowance.
Because that's to give the allowance. I get what I'm saying now.
So even if a foul spirit comes to tell me now, right now, you see this building you are building now, if you bury 2 bags of salt under it, what should we say now? 2 bags of salt, the church will become the salt of the earth. I can't do it.
They will beat me.
Do you have such people around you? People have no fear. There should be, I taught you on reverence, right? There should be holy reverence you have for the Lord and for his things and for his people. Holy reverence. There should be people that if they come around you, you adjust yourself. If you are sitting like this, you sit well. You say, am I a child? Be a child. Be a child. That's what I'm saying. But don't realize, no matter how old you are, you are still your father's child. And if you are wise, always remain a child to your father and your mother. Even if you are not a child and are not giving them money. Don't ever think because I'm not giving your parents money that you know more than them. What is going to happen is that once you keep shutting them up, they will keep quiet and start watching you. Not as though they don't know what to say. But because you've used your money to shut their mouth, because they're watching you, always remain a child. Even when after you give them money and they talk, it's okay. Yes, mommy. Yes, mommy. What of this? What of this? Because you now father that you don't know many things. That's how you'll be behaving anyhow. Your father will now die. You don't even know where your land started from and where your land ended. Just saying. So, finally. Have you been blessed today now? I'm closing this service today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, the last reason why you need help, Pastor, especially now, this is why I'm closing, Pastor. Especially Pastor in your life. The Pastor carries the blessing. If I had time, I would have said more about this. But let me just keep it at this. Carries the blessing. There are many things that are lacking in people's life. They've prayed. They've fasted. What they lack is a pastoral voice that will speak over that matter. As simple as that. Many things, like, they just think, I'm trying my best. Sometimes, what they lack. I have many testimonies like that. When I was looking for, when I needed money, I was broke. Very, very. Didn't have a house. Didn't have anything. I prayed what I call dangerous prayers. So why do you call it dangerous? Because God saw my heart that day. I prayed, I say, God, now what for you? I prayed. And I prayed to a point. The Lord said to me, simple word, what you are looking for is in the hands of a father. I said, thank you, sir. I picked up my phone and said, Daddy, I'm going through a lot. And the Lord said, what I'm looking for is in your hands. I dropped that message on chat and slept. Woke up the next morning, message has come in. Prosper, enlarge, be more, break new grounds, and all that. I said, fine, I began to declare those things. That was how, that was COVID year. In less than few weeks, supplies from everywhere. People that had forgotten that I even exist began to remember. You know the story. Before COVID had ended, I had paid for a house. Before COVID had ended, I was coming from where I was to Enugu to look for a house during COVID. There was supply. Set up the house and all of that. And that flow has been flowing since then. Now, there are certain things we even enjoy in this church as a ministry that came because my pastor blessed me. Many things. So, Chronicles 20 verse 20, he said, believe in the Lord your God, you will be established. He said, believe in his prophets also. He said, you shall prosper. So, there are certain things that your pastor will give you that carries the blessing. Paul told them in Philippians 4 verse 19 rather. He said, my God. You don't get that. When a pastor says, my God, now, it's the same God we all serve. But when he says, my God, he's speaking from the place of his calling. I feel what I'm saying now. My God shall supply all your needs. It's not the same thing with your prayer, sir. He's speaking from the place of his calling. The question I'm asking you is, I know you can receive prayer from everybody, but is there someone in your life that has even that has a legal right in the spirit to speak over you and they cannot be reversed? That's the pastor. I better maximize it too. There may be that even yesterday, there may be 2 days ago, I received a testimony.
A brother here was in the office and told me, in the past 3 months, I've not sold anything. Imagine having a business and I've not sold in 3 months. I counseled the man. I said, let me pray for you. From now, you will sell. This weekend alone, he told me, I said, in the past 2 days, I've sold more. He sold, because he sells heavy equipments. I mean expensive stuffs in hundreds of thousands and millions and all of that. He sold 3 in 2 days. Now, no new strategy. Just what has been happening. And there are much more. I have many stories like that. Many, many stories like that. The reason is a pastor is anointed to bless. It's one of the places you need helpers. That when the road is blocked, there should be a Moses that will lift his rod and strike the Red Sea and you can pass. It's awful I'm talking about. There should be a Joshua that will lead through the Jordan. Now, please, your pastor, I said it from the first day. It doesn't replace God though. It shouldn't replace God. You should have a prayer. If I had a good pastor, we teach you to pray and all of that. Many times we come to pray for them, I send them back to pray for themselves. But there are times that they come and the Lord says to me, this one, they've prayed. Step into your pastoral office. I say, thank you. Yesterday, one of my people welcomed their baby and all of that. In the course of the whole birth and all of that, I told mom, call, and I said, is your wife out now? She said, no. I said, okay. So I was just at home. I was just praying. Everybody that slept, it was in the morning. And I just felt, I called him. I said, is your wife out? And I said, no. I said, go there now. Your wife should be out now. In less than a minute, she called me and said, Daddy, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Now, there are times where, you know, if your wife has ever been in labor or in a situation like that, you need people. Ever been in labor? You might be forming compartment. You just sit down. Just be talking. Tongues may even finish. Because Nigeria system, they will not allow you to enter there. So you don't even know what is happening inside there. Are you following the point? There are people. What an honor to be ordained and anointed. To be your man and yourself. Dancing the rhythm of your. There are graces, for instance, that you might be praying forever to break into, but it will not happen until, because there are, you know, Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, he said to Timothy to stir up, listen to this, 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, stir up the gift, which is the gift of God, which is in thee. How? Look at the screen. By what? By the putting of my hand. So there are gifts that Timothy received by prayer. But he said, that is this one that came when I put my hands on you. A pastor carries things that cannot receive just on your own. Are you following me now? Graces you cannot receive just on your own. Paul told me in Romans 1 verse 11, he said, I long to see you that I might impart unto you some spiritual gifts. That said, it is a pastor carries that you need, which is why you cannot do without having helpers in your life. The anointing will even help in difficult situations, which is what you need. So I know you can pray, I know you can study, but there are people you need in your life at different seasons. When things go bad, when things are even good, when you get distracted, when you are tired, you need people. Are you blessed this morning now? Father, let's sing them close. Yes. Sing with me. We're closing already. Say, what an honor, what an honor.
To be ordained and anointed.
Yes.
To be a man and
this song one more time. Please, the Lord said to me in the first service, I'm saying to you, this is what I've thought about helpers of your job. I just want to remind you that you're also somebody's helper. So wherever you find yourself, maybe I'm your mentor now. But you know, you also have mentees. There are people looking up to you. Be a good instructor to them. Be a good friend. Are you following me? Be a good helper to people too. He says, I don't have anybody that I'm mentoring. Well, you follow people up where you go evangelism. You're already mentoring them in a way. Be a good mentor. Be a good instructor. I feel what I'm saying now. Be a good instructor. The same way you have helpers, you also help other people. So do what you must. Do what you must. Make sure you show up in people's life. Make sure you make yourself available for people to show up in your life and also show up in people's life. You get what I'm saying? Make yourself available to be mentored, to be taught, to be fathered, to be pastored, to be friended. Anything like that. But then, also be a good mentor to people as they come around you. I get what I'm saying? So that as it's a chain, you're helping people. Now, I have people above me helping me. I have people as my friends helping me. Now I'm helping you. You have people helping you. You also have people that God has positioned you to help. I thought we were going to get there, but we didn't get there. It's fine. The Lord said I should close this series today. So next time we open it, we're going to look at it. I get to the point. You have people because there's another group I didn't talk about. There's are people that are supporting it. But I'm just mentioning it. And there are people that you're meant to help too. So be a good helper to them. Be a good instructor. Be a good discipler. Be a good friend. When your friend is in need, be a good friend. When your friend gets weak, be a good friend. So that when you get weak, too, your friend will come through for you. When your friend is no longer stressed with the Lord, go after the person. Yes. The Bible said, David said, I was keeping my father's sheep one day, and the lion and the bear came. I went after the lion. Be like David, that will go after whatever comes after your sheep as a mentor. I can see the point. People are fighting for my life. I'm fighting for people's life. One day the Lord said to me concerning one of my daughters, he said, you know, you fought over this girl's health because she was sick almost unto death. The Lord said, in the next few months, you're going to fight over her spiritual life too. And come on, it happened as well as the Lord said. That fight took months. But it was won. And when she recovered and became strong, I called her one day and said, you see what I did for you? Make sure you do for others. When they are weak too. You see the way I came after you. For months. Do it for others. One of my sons, who is, I know, is following this now. There's a time in his life. Because we all have these moments. He totally left. In fact, even though that I know eternal salvation. He left the faith. I mean, went from the Christian walk. Even joined a cult. Yes. Joined a cult. Began to carry women. Going clubbing. I'm not joking. The problem is, before he did it, he told me. He's possibly listening to this now. I've never told this story openly before. He told me, he said, I'm no more doing. So it's a couple of years back now. And true to his word, he stopped doing. But you know what? I went after. There was a time every week, sometimes 2 days, I was calling. One day he asked me, what are you even interested in? I say, you. I was calling. Every day, sometimes there was a day he said, ah, these days when I see your call, I don't want to be, just I respect you too much. I said, thank God you still respect me. Until one day we were holding a meeting, and in that meeting, he came with my friends. They didn't know what had been happening. Some of my people I was mentoring. I said, this brother, I want us to pray. They didn't know what was happening. We all lifted our voice and we prayed. After I prayed, I called him again. I showed up for a meeting I had in the evening. I said, come. He came in that meeting, everything broke. It's been many years now of standing for the Lord. And what I'm saying to that brother listening to me, what I did for you, do for others. I can see the point now. Be a helper to people. Be a helper to people. As you are receiving help, help people too. Is that clear?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.